This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hello, everyone. This is the Jesse Kelly Show. Jamie Allman, so happy to be filling in for the great Jesse Kelly. Glad to be with you. And, oh, yeah, Creedence is the perfect intro for this one because I've been saying all along that we are the new hippies. We common sense conservatives are the new hippies. We are the new peaceniks. We're anti-establishment. We're into clean food. And even for that matter, clean water in terms of fluoride-free water, you know? And who would have ever imagined that our hippie leader would actually be a guy who never takes his tie off, even when he is wearing a sanitation jacket? It's pretty cool. And it's kind of a happy time. The only thing we're maybe not doing, I don't think we really have been pulled into the Birkenstock kind of category yet. We're not wearing those shoes and never will. But that's about it. And we're also, of course, into changes. We're into changing the establishment. We're actually not worshipers of the FBI and the CIA. Remember, back in the day, the people who were the worshipers of the CIA and the FBI and all these government institutions were supposedly these jackbooted conservative thugs or whatever it was. And no, we're the new ones. We're even into weed, which is really pretty interesting. I personally am not, but, you know, other people are. And knock yourself out. And we're also countercultural, if you can believe that, except our counterculturalism is coming in a little bit different form, and I'll get that to you in just a little bit. So one of our hippie leaders also could wind up being RFK Jr., and he is really going full bore against Big Pharma, which basically is keeping us from having anything but pills to resolve our issues, and pills manufactured by pharmaceutical companies. They're the largest contributors to political campaigns and politicians in this country, the number one contributor to political campaigns, which is another reason why you're not seeing a lot of really great alternative medicines getting through, because the pharmaceutical industry lobbies so hard against it. He's also going after the food industrial complex, which I'm glad that President Trump brought that up, and I love that term, and going after stuff that's in our food that we shouldn't be eating. And you know what? Oddly enough, as much as the liberals worship Europe, the one thing that they seemingly are not in congruence with Europe on would be additives in our food. And so RFK Jr. is on this tear regarding our food supply and the kinds of dyes and additives and things like that we're putting in the food supply, and allowing it in spite of the fact that much of what is used in this country in our food isn't even allowed in European countries. And so RFK put out this really great video. It's on YouTube. This is how it went.
Toxins end up in every supermarket aisle. Let me show you what I mean. Doritos, Cheez-Its, Cap'n Crunch, gummy bears.
I love the fact that he pronounced Cap'n Crunch correctly, you know, because normally you and me just say Captain Crunch. But he's like Cap'n Crunch. He's like right on. He's like very detailed.
Everyone knows that these are junk foods, so.
And then he picks up a box of Fruit Loops. Now, I have to admit, because I didn't grow up with sugared cereal, my mom didn't allow anything with sugared cereal. So I would watch cartoons and see all these kids eating Fruit Loops and Trix and everything else. And that was never part of my diet as a kid. So we had Grape Nuts, Life cereal, which is about as sugared as anything you can get, and maybe Raisin Bran, where the raisins are sugared a little bit. But other than that, no. It was not. There was no processed foods. anywhere in the land in my home. So I wasn't exposed to a lot of these really things that I really wanted to eat, you know, and I would watch other kids eat. Hell, we didn't even have bologna, for crying out loud. Now that's a sin. But anyway, so it was the first time that I ever knew that fruit in Fruit Loops was spelled with two O's. And that's because I never looked at the box, because I never saw the box in my house. And so I didn't know that. That's something I learned through this process of watching RFK. But he's pointing out all of these dyes and additives in our cereals and in our food, because you all know, remember back in the day, like I remember this very explicitly, 1992. And that was kind of a turnabout in people attempting to kind of redo our health profile. So first they came up with Olestra. Oh, look, we're going to make potato chips with Olestra, until people ate half a bag of potato chips and wound up on the toilet for the next hour because Olestra was going right through you. But there was a lot of identifiers, like, for instance, Pepsi Clear. Pepsi Clear came out. You remember that? And people kind of liked it. Some people liked it. It gave this impression that it was cleaner and everything else. And technically it was, because it didn't have the dye in it that made Pepsi brown, for instance. But the problem is, a lot of people are like, I'm not drinking that because it's not brown. And I grew up with Pepsi. Pepsi was always brown. Pretty much everything is clear until you put a dye in it or whatever it happens to be. And that's been the problem.
Maybe you wouldn't be too surprised to see that the ingredients include a lot of poisons, including a harmful yellow dye called tetrazine, or yellow dye number 5. What you may not know is that this dye was originally made out of the sludge that's left over when you turn coal into coke for blast furnaces. It's called coal tar, and I've actually sued many big industries for legacy contamination of coal tar all around the country because it's so toxic and it's so harmful to the environment and human beings.
And he's showing this yellow dye, and then he shows a chicken wing being dipped into really what I have to admit looks like delicious-looking cheese, except it's dyed yellow, but it made me hungry. But anyway, that's the problem. And so what happened is, he said that these dyes have to go. There has to be a new regulatory profile. And so what happened? The New York Times, and again, this is slapping yourself in the face, right? The media constantly doing this. The New York Times decided to fact check RFK Jr. And here's how it went. Mr. Kennedy has singled out Fruit Loops as an example of a product with too many artificial ingredients, questioning why the Canadian version has fewer than the U.S. version. But he was wrong. The ingredient list is roughly the same, although Canada's has natural colorings made from blueberries and carrots, while the U.S. product contains red dye 40 and yellow 5. Excuse me, New York Times, that's a fact check? No, it's not. It's a reaffirmation of what Kennedy was talking about. All the other ingredients in there, of course, are terrible, but the main focus of RFK Jr. is on those dyes. And they're like, well, it's not really true that the ingredients are markedly different. It's like, well, on the two most important things, it's true. Canada uses blueberries and carrots for its dyes, and the U.S. uses red dye number 40 and yellow number 5. Which are all having toxic effects on our children and what we're doing. Now, I don't want him to go in and, for instance, mandate that McDonald's not sell 2-for-1 Big Macs. I mean, there's some degree of personal responsibility in our intake and what we eat and everything else. But there's also a responsibility on the part of these manufacturers to stop poisoning us. And that's what he's talking about. But again, to my point about the media constantly slapping itself in the face and reaffirming what we already know. And this was not a fact check. This was an absolute reaffirmation of everything RFK Jr. was talking about. And there's another example. The media just can't win for losing and lying, that's for sure. Hey, are you folks ready for high-speed rail in the U.S.? They're pushing that even after Trump's elected. This is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I'm Jamie Allman. Hello, my friends. This is the Jesse Kelly Show. Jamie Allman here, super pleased to be filling in for the great Jesse Kelly. And, you know, watching football over the weekend and watched one game where there was an interception and the quarterback basically just threw it right to the defense and it was intercepted. And imagine a post-game, the quarterback or the coach of the team that threw the interception comes out and says, you know what we ought to do? We ought to keep throwing interceptions. That's what we ought to do. That seems like a key. That seems like that one of the ingredients of a sure victory is just throwing more interceptions. Well, similarly, we have the woke left and the Democrats who are all at this point coming back for another round of humiliation. And by this, I'm telling you, the people on the internet deciding now is a good time to promote nationwide high-speed rail. And I'm thinking, what are you thinking? You guys aren't like thinking about maybe changing up your patterns or changing up your outreach or whatever. You're just going to keep doing this. You're just going to keep throwing these ideas out there, and you're still going at it even after you've been defeated. Even after voters have rejected the Democrat policies. And we'll get into this a little later, too, because now the Democrat Party is basically the party of white people making $100,000 or more. So there you go. But actually, the high-speed rail thing is a great example of the liberals who just can navel gaze and think about things that most of us don't have the luxury to think about. And this would be, for instance, high-speed rail. Let's spend more money. Let's spend more tax dollars on something that nobody is going to use. And I understand other European countries, and they do. You have in France the TGV, and people get around that way in France. France is the size of Wisconsin. So it works pretty well. But a high-speed rail system in the United States of America isn't going to work. They're trying to build one out in California, constantly over budget, and not to mention what you have to clear out in order to make the high-speed rail system. So you think those windmills are an obstruction to our environment? Just wait until they start tearing things up along a highway or whatever, wherever they're going to do it to make room for a high-speed rail project. Now, I know there are a bunch of projects that were going to be do like a tube or something like that. It would be like a cylinder that would go high speed from, you know, St. Louis to Kansas City or from Kansas City and beyond and whatever. But we have tubes that go faster than cars, and they're called airplanes, which is a phenomenal invention that gets us from one place to another faster. And is it more expensive to fly? Yeah. Is it more expensive to the taxpayer to fly? No. There's your example. If you want to fly, you can fly. The high-speed rail system requires an investment by the government that the government at this point can't afford. And so you have a system, and plus nobody wants it because most people like to be in their cars and take their road trips and take their things. And if they don't want to do that, they buy an airplane ticket and they fly to their locations. I guarantee you, obviously, crashing in an airplane is certainly not pleasant. But if you can imagine derailing at 400 miles an hour in a ground level cylinder, that would not be fun either. In fact, it'd probably be more fun to be in a plane crash than it would be to be in a high speed rail crash. But that's what they're doing. So all over the internet, they're now trying to bring up and they're trying to force the Trump administration to start to get in with this idea of creating a high-speed rail system. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not going to be part of any Trump administration policy. And you know how Trump feels about the windmills and that kind of thing anyway, disrupting the environment. There's nothing more anti-environment than cutting through swatches of natural turf to build a high-speed rail. But they're still doing it all over the internet. These are people who say, hey, you know, a lot of our lives would be incredibly different if this existed, and it's a high-speed rail. And I'm wondering if anybody ever bothered to ask any of these people, tell me, how would our lives be incredibly different, except for the fact that we'd be spending a lot more government money on building up these high-speed rail systems, and not only would they be over budget, but then nobody's going to use them. I personally, flying is so much easier, and it's so much better, and driving is the other option, and there you go. And then some people who don't want to do that, either don't have a car or are scared to fly, they take the unending train trip, which basically is an unending event. Sometimes it's fun, but very few of us have time to take 12 hours, for instance, to go from one city to the next. That was way back in the day when airplanes flew at 50 miles an hour and it took 12 hours or 8 hours to go from Pittsburgh to Dallas, that kind of thing. But these people keep on coming back for these second helpings of idiocy and refuse to give up on this idea of trying to change our lives, presumably because it's greener. And there's no way that a high-speed rail system is in any way, shape, or form greener, and to the point even where the proof is that even electric cars are not greener. Electric cars, you could have 100% electric car usage in America, and you still will have an effect on the environment on carbon emissions of about 0.03%. It's why the rental car companies are selling them off, because no one rents an electric car. When you're on a business trip or a vacation, you don't want to stop and plug your car in somewhere for 2 hours before you can move anywhere. So these guys keep on coming back for a second helping. And I have an idea, though, for them. Actually, it's a great parody ad, but it's a great idea to let some of these crazies live Trump-free for the next 4 years. I'll have that for you next on the Jesse Kelly Show. This is Jamie Allman.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
Hello, everyone. This is the Jesse Kelly Show. Jamie Allman filling in for you. And by now, you've probably heard of the cruise line that is out there, and they are offering people a trip that will last 4 years. And it goes to 140 different countries. And if you don't want to have to put up with a Trump America, you can buy a ticket on this cruise line that will take you to 140 different countries. And oddly enough, it's $256,000 for the trip. And I was thinking to myself, I was doing the math, and I'm not even good at math, but this math seemed kind of easy. I'm thinking $256,000 to go on a cruise and visit 140 different countries, if of course you have the time and don't need to work, seems like kind of a bargain. Because I figured it out that it boils down to about $175 a day. Now, for most of us, we'd think, well, that's expensive because that's like staying in a hotel every night. But when you think about all the things that you don't have to buy, or for instance, presumably you'd sell your house or rent it or whatever, and so you wouldn't have to pay a mortgage. You could sell your car and you wouldn't have to make a car payment. You wouldn't have to buy groceries. You wouldn't have to spend money on electric bills or gas bills or anything of the sort. You wouldn't have to spend anything. And I think for the most people, if you really boil down your daily life, we're probably already maybe spending $175 a day to a certain degree. So it doesn't seem like it's that hard of a deal to go ahead and go on the cruise. Although I'm not one of those people who would want to leave the United States of America. I want to see how this whole thing plays out, because as President Trump says, we're going to be in the golden age of America, a new golden age, which I love, a new common sense conservative age where everybody is kind of on the same page. Everybody's dancing to YMCA. And so it just seems almost like overdone in how wonderful it is and how exciting it is. And of course, the only thing that President Trump has to do is accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And I think most people will be happy. J.D. Vance, president in 2028, and we'll never see Democrats again, I mean, quite possibly, in the White House at least. And so the people who ran the cruise line basically said that we planned this a long time ago. So it was even for people who, if Kamala Harris got elected, if you wanted to leave the country or not be in the country for 4 years and take this cruise, then it would be offered to you, too. So we weren't doing it just as an anti-Trump measure or whatever. And my feeling is if, in this case, with Trump as president and a liberal really wants to get away, then they can do that, or there's an even better idea. And that is to go ahead and invest in Don't Cry Cryo. And this is a great idea, even though it is a parody. And this is fantastic. It's come from our guys over at Newsy.com. Don't Cry Cryo. Need a break from Trump's term? Freeze yourself for 4 years.
Are you distraught after the recent presidential election? Here at Don't Cry Cryo, we understand your pain, and we're here to help. Our expert team of cryogenic care providers.
I love how it has a piano music, like every COVID ad had piano music in it. So, of course, they do the piano music, although piano is a great, you know, kind of thing for any kind of ad, but still, it's funny.
Here at Don't Cry Cryo, we understand your pain, and we're here to help. Our expert team of cryogenic care providers can cryogenically freeze you until the Trump presidency has ended. No more crying, no more anxiety attacks, just blissful sleep until Trump is gone. When you awaken from your slumber.
This is my favorite part. And that is the J.D. Vance discount.
We'll even have a party ready and waiting for you. It will be like his presidency never even happened. It was all just a bad dream. As an added bonus, you can choose the Vance add-on package. We'll extend your sleep for an additional 4 years at a 50% discount in the event J.D. Vance wins the next presidential election.
Yeah, it's just outrageously funny.
Everything will be okay. We're here to take care of you in your time of need. So remember, don't cry, cryo.
Don't cry, cryo. And then what happens is, as an addition to this little getup on this ad, then they have something to fast forward to, and that's 2033. So the people who have frozen themselves, presumably for maybe even 8 years, are going to wake up realizing something that they maybe didn't expect. Stardate January 6, 2033.
Where am I? Oh, please tell me it's over. Wait, something isn't right.
This is your captain, Elon Musk. I want to be the first one to welcome you to Mars.
So, Elon Musk has reconfigured his whole project, his space project, SpaceX, into a ship where these people who have been asleep, so they wouldn't know, presumably. And so at that point, Elon Musk then would put them and their cryo chambers into a ship and take them to Mars.
No!
Sorry, Donald Trump Jr. was just elected president.
And so this is 2032, and Trump Jr. is elected president. And Nick Bosa, you know, the 49ers guy who interrupted, and I think he still got fined for it or whatever, to wear his Make America Great Again hat and all that kind of stuff. He's vice president.
And he deported all Don't Cry Cryo customers to Mars.
So the people who were frozen were ultimately then deported to Mars.
What the?
Yeah. Welcome to Musk City on Mars. This is the fate So people are either going to get used to it or they're going to have to find some escape. And you see them kind of clamoring and trying to figure out, well, maybe if we just keep pushing high-speed rail, everything will change. If we just kind of stick to our same old, same old. If we just keep calling Pete Hegseth a racist and a white supremacist, maybe things will change for us. These people are never going to learn. And the reality is, and I thought about this even before the election, I knew that there might be a lot of liberals thinking to themselves, you know, Trump might not really be that bad. I mean, we're dealing with all these people who continue to embarrass us with their woke policies and their name calling and their lack of productivity and their terrible economies and their wars and everything else. And I'm thinking maybe electing Trump wouldn't be so bad. And I think ultimately, and we haven't been able to kind of determine this yet, but I think ultimately there were a lot of people, Democrats, I'd love to see what the Democrat vote totals were for President Trump. And these would be the closet vote totals for President Trump. This coalition is now just an incredible one. And believe it or not, it doesn't include a lot of the Nikki Haley Republicans and the others who clutched their pearls and basically prayed that Trump wouldn't get elected and now basically are going to have to create their own party. I would suggest calling it the Whigs, because that's the fate of the Whigs, is just basically going away. Trump won this election without Republicans, if you can believe it. Well, some Republicans. And I knew he was going to win it with all the people who perhaps didn't vote Republican before, especially the minorities, people who won't associate themselves with Republicans, but definitely associate themselves with Donald Trump and his policies. A beautiful thing. And that's the world we're living in, and the world these people can choose not to live in. This is The Jesse Kelly Show. I'm Jamie Allman, happy to be filling in. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. Jamie Allman here, happy to be filling in for the great Jesse Kelly. I guess the other option, aside from freezing yourself or taking a four-year cruise, is to just simply not cooperate with the Trump policies and the Trump initiatives. And that would be the left's answer, is, well, we're just not going to cooperate. That's a good idea. We just won't participate in this revolution. So there are a lot of people who are part of the sanctuary city craze who are saying, well, it's illegal for Trump to come in and deport these people. And, you know, we're not going to cooperate. We're a sanctuary city, and that's how we're going to go. And the only problem with that is that you're going to be basically overrun with ICE agents. That's what Tom Homan is promising. He's the new border czar, as you know. And these people who want to stick with their sanctuary cities are going to find themselves not only overrun with ICE agents, but also overrun with protests from their citizenry. So you have a situation, for instance, in Chicago. That's a great example. And if you look at the Chicago voting totals coming out of the black community specifically, they almost doubled their support for Donald Trump over the last election. And they did that because black people in Chicago, as they have been saying to the city council and the Cook County Council and anybody who will listen, that we're suddenly second-class citizens, and we've been there and done that. We don't like Throwback Thursday, you guys. We don't like to be suddenly second-class citizens again, and this time second-class citizens to illegal aliens who come into our city and who are burning up resources that otherwise would go to us. They're displacing veterans in homeless shelters. They're being housed in the rec centers. You know, the rec centers that liberals always create to somehow stem crime among black youth. Well, maybe if they just play basketball all night, everything will be fine. And then they just suddenly spend gobs of money on rec centers. Well, now those rec centers are being used to house illegal aliens. So there are a lot of unhappy people in Chicago. Chicago is a sanctuary city. And there were people, it wound up right before the election, where there were black citizens showing up at these city council meetings wearing Make America Great Again hats. And they were chanting, no more blue, no matter who. And yet these city leaders aren't listening. They didn't understand what the true problem was. They didn't understand that every city, every state became ultimately a border state. And so they were angry. They were upset about what was going on, and they voted accordingly. Now the only people left to fumigate would be the local leaders who continue to hang on to this idea that being a sanctuary city is a good idea. Boston's Democrat mayor, Michelle Wu, said that she would resist cooperation with the Trump administration on any plan to deport illegals.
What will Boston's response be if these mass deportations take place?
Yeah, look, elections have consequences, and the federal government is responsible for a certain set of actions, and cities, no individual city can reverse or override some parts of that. But what we can do is make sure that we are doing our part to protect our residents in every possible way, that we are not cooperating with those efforts that actually threaten the safety of everyone by causing widespread fear and having large-scale economic impact.
Yeah, Boston's a pretty nice city and hasn't actually had the suffering that New York and Chicago, Philadelphia, Miami have had as a result of their policies. But you notice she called them residents. Illegal aliens are not residents. They're illegal aliens. That's what they are. So Tom Homan, who is, of course, the border czar, I love this guy. He kind of has this attitude, and the way he comports himself, it's straight out of like a Bowery Boys movie. You know, he's like really tough and, you know, otherwise wouldn't be as polished verbally as other people would be. But that doesn't matter. That never mattered to any of us. We weren't looking for polished people. We were looking for, even if they're flawed, people who knew exactly what the needs of America happened to be. So he's interviewed and is asked to respond to this Democrat mayor and has a money answer.
Defending our residents every possible way. Well, she's not very smart, I'll give her that. Because what I just said is President Trump's going to prioritize public safety threats. What mayor or governor doesn't want public safety threats out of their communities? I mean, that's your number one responsibility, is protect your communities. And that's exactly what we're going to do. So she helps us, she gets the hell out of the way, because we're going to do it. And look, there's a clear line here, and they can't cross a clear line. I would suggest she read Title 8, United States Code 1324III, that says, you know, you can't harbor or conceal an illegal alien from federal law enforcement officers. So I hope she don't cross that line. They cannot cooperate. But there are certain laws in place that they can't cross, and I hope she doesn't cross it. But
you're not a sovereign city, and we all understand obviously the Constitution and the 10th Amendment, and we understand the need to have a level of sovereignty for states. But when it comes to a federal law, when you are basically institutionalizing a violation of federal law, that's not going to work. And Homan is indicating that you can stand in the way. We'll just double the number of agents. We'll overrun you. And if it's not us who will teach you a lesson, and much like we put the dog's nose in its poop, then your citizens are going to teach you a lesson as well. Because your citizens don't like that attitude. They don't like being a sanctuary city. They've seen the kind of damage it has caused. And so you might stand in the way, but Tom Homan, President Trump, ICE, and your own citizens are going to be standing in the way of you. That's how it's all going to work. All right, coming up, a completely red state decides they're going to put a few Bibles in classrooms, and hubbub ensues. We'll have that for you on the other side of this. This is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I'm Jamie Allman with you.
This is an iHeart podcast.